JJ News.
Hello. Yeah, the big news story is tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Folks are traveling despite the COVID thing, but not as much. So
right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Social distance, use your hand sanitizer, wear your masks.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. One of the most successful comedians on the planet and the most successful ventriloquist in the history of the world on the show, Jeff Dunham.
Yay!
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to know, I was listening. Have you ever met the guy who does your voiceovers? Chaz and AJ in the morning. Have you ever met that guy?
No.
No. Wouldn't you love to have a voice like that? Seriously.
Yes.
Well, you have a million voices. Why can't you just make one like that?
That's true.
There's a thought. Make a puppet for it.
I'm going to order one up in the Jeff Dunham kitchen.
That would be fun. Who cares?
You must do that, right? Like go to the drive-thru window and do
a different voice.
You know, one of your many voices.
Like Peanut.
Well, the voices are one thing, but the ventriloquism is another. And I do that every once in a while. I mess with sound guys because I'll make my voice out of sync with my lips. And it.
Oh, that's great.
Are your lips moving right now? Nope.
Yeah, I'm actually doing it right now.
Nice.
I'm actually across the room from myself, so it's throwing my voice to the phone. It's brilliant.
That's awesome, really, man.
Not easy.
You gotta phone yourself.
Well, he just made a point there. It's one thing to do voices.
Uh-huh.
It's another to do voices while your mouth is shut.
Yes.
I know. What?
You got so much fun doing that.
On stage, it's lightning fast where you're having an argument with your dummy.
Self.
Self?
Your
really?
Dummy self, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Nuts.
Well, there you go.
Whatever. Yeah. So are you guys going to sit around on Friday and do nothing? I'm going to plug myself now. You got to turn on the TV Friday night. Please do it. Because I've done 10 comedy specials and a bunch of them were with Comedy Central. Then I went to NBC and then Netflix. And now we're back on Comedy Central.
So
and
is this the commercial part of the interview?
This is the commercial part of my
right.
show. But
no,
you know what?
I thought we were
going to
talk
you guys,
to you, but I didn't know we were going to do a commercial.
But no, let me tell you one thing that I think that you guys would appreciate. You've had comics on a million times, and you know that when these guys...
We normally don't take over an interview, though. But go ahead. You clearly want to plug this thing. I was going to talk about it. I mean, I love your story.
Okay. But,
go ahead.
You
know, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt your commercial.
No. You know, I've done... How long have I been doing... I started comedy clubs in like 88, 89... And that was when I was nobody, and they'd be, oh, my Lord, we have to interview the guy with the puppets. We don't know who this guy is, but he's at the local club, so we have to put him on because they buy ads on our show, right?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Well, you didn't buy any ads here, so.
Well, thank you for having me.
He's appreciative,
despite that.
So
yes.
I'd go in there, and already I was hated because nobody wanted the morning guys. You know, the morning shows, they've been there forever, and they've seen everything. And now, a guy with a doll is going to come and talk on the radio. This makes no sense whatsoever. So I learned that from the very beginning that if I didn't jump in and take over, that it would just go downhill and they hated me. So Walter would be there, my cranky old guy, and I would just launch into the material. And it ended up that a lot of these radio shows I've been friends with for 25 years, and they like it because they don't have to do anything. They just sit back and go, Jeff, how are you? And 15 minutes later, it's like, all right, that was great. Thanks.
Now, look, when you die, I want to be able to play the interview back and have this whole Jeff Dunham experience.
Yeah, right? You're not dying right now, though, what you're saying. Yeah.
Not that you're dying now.
No. The act's great, too.
But no, I want to, look, if this is the last time we talk to you, I just want to have the Jeff Dunham story because I love your story. It could be a movie.
It could.
Really. So you were adopted. Right?
Wait a minute. Why would this be the last time we spoke?
I don't know, just in case.
We had a medium on earlier, sorry.
Yeah.
The psychic wasn't very good to you.
Just don't go outside today.
Yeah.
Stay in.
Well, you know, a couple people in my, not my immediate family, but a couple of people in my family now have COVID, and it is...
Whoa.
You know, I think most of us were like, oh, yeah, you heard the friend of a friend or an uncle of somebody got it. And now it's like, man, it's just like getting close to home for everybody. And my daughter got on a plane this morning, and it was only because arguments and discussions and all that. And she got on the plane. She goes, how the F is this happening? People can't go in restaurants, but the plane was absolutely packed to the gills.
In a tube. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was angry. It was like, well, how is this happening? So I told her to burn her clothes. She gets off, burn her clothes,
yeah.
And take a 30-minute shower with her dog because her dog's with her too. So.
Right. Be deloused. Exactly.
Are you, we're talking to Jeff Dunham. Are you going to, what's your Thanksgiving like?
Again, this is a discussion that's ongoing, and I think Christmas is going to be completely screwed. We're going to have a super spreader holiday.
It's going to keep getting worse. I agree.
Yeah,
the gift no one wants.
In 3 weeks, it's going to be awful. I don't want to go anywhere. I have twin boys that are 5 years old, and they're the least susceptible to this thing.
But you know what you could do?
I have in-laws down the street, and I
can't
keep
have
saying,
them. You got to leave them. You can't have them.
Yeah, you just zoom them. Yeah.
Can't have them.
Yeah. Even when it's over, just
want them to be safe.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
and
what
my
you
mother lives in an assisted living home in Dallas, and that's the other thing is, like, she hasn't seen anybody. They'll go out of their homes. They bring the food to their door. So, anyway, this was a fun interview. Thanks.
Listen, I'm working
Happy holidays.
On it. I'm working on it. Boy, do I feel like I'm really working, too.
So I started when I was in the third grade. I had nothing going on. There was no brothers, no sisters, only child, and adopted. So let's add all that up. And then I was terrible at everything. I was horrible at sports. I couldn't draw. Girls didn't pay attention to me. I wasn't one of the in crowd.
You know what I was just going to say, Jeff, before you went into that? I was going to say, for Thanksgiving, you could set up all your dummies at the table.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Right. Wouldn't that be neat?
Well,
it's not like you're going to be alone.
If you look at I'm not doing a commercial here. Look at my YouTube channel. 2 years ago, we actually did a video a la Animal House where all the characters are sitting at the Thanksgiving table. And it's amazing how me and one other guy did this with blue screen. And we actually end up in a food fight. And it's pretty amazing technology that you can do with a stinking iPhone now.
Wow.
Jeff Dunham's on his stand-up special, Jeff Dunham's Completely Unrehearsed Holiday Pandemic Special, on Comedy Central on the 27th, which is not tomorrow, but Friday.
Yes.
8 o'clock.
You guys have the old press release, and I have to fire someone, by the way. They got the title wrong.
Oh, what's it called now?
Really?
What?
What's it called now?
What?
It's actually Jeff Dunham's Completely Unrehearsed Last Minute Pandemic Holiday Special. So there you go.
So you added last minute to it.
Right. Well, it's last minute, did it? Yes.
At the last minute.
Right. It's all appropriate now.
Here's what I was going to say earlier is that you guys will appreciate this, that most guys come through, and women, sorry, most people come through, and having done their specials, and they've shopped it, you know, they've done it 100 times somewhere, you know, making it all work. This one, I'm sitting around like everybody, nothing to do, nowhere to go, and I thought, I see these other folks doing specials, I can do it too. So I literally thought this up 2 months ago. We shot it 3 weeks ago, so it was crazy fast, and I had a few writer friends of mine. I gave them subject matter. They took the subjects, they wrote the jokes, they gave them to me. I sat in my office for two days solid, and 2 weeks solid, just going through all this stuff and cobbled it all together. And every one of these jokes, when you see them on Friday night, not one of those jokes had I ever uttered to another human being out loud. Not my wife, not my friends, nobody. So those are all first-time told jokes, so
that's
I didn't know
scary.
What the hell was going to happen.
Wow.
Isn't that scary?
That's got to be terrifying.
Yeah, you know, it was, but when I walked off stage in March, you know, most of my shows are anywhere between 6,000 and 10,000 people in arenas. I thought, you know, who knows how long this was going to be. So that was 8 months ago. And now, you know, I'm basically sitting in my living room doing a show for my 5-year-old twin boys and my wife. And I'm like, I got to get the F out of here and do something else. So that's when I thought this thing up. So when I walked on stage and there were 100 people out there, all in masks, socially distanced, tables no more than 4, it was actually great.
It felt good.
I see what you're saying. So that's better.
It's a larger audience at home, yes.
Is your wife and your kids, are they a good audience?
My kids, I'll tell you when I knew I had to get out of the house. We're sitting at the dinner table, and I picked up a chip clip, and I started making it talk, and my little guys were on the floor howling. They thought I was hilarious, and I'm like, yeah, I really got to go do a real show.
Right, we're doing toilet paper talks, yep.
Jeff Dunham's on. We're linked up to all things Jeff Dunham on the radio station website. How tough was it coming up in a stand-up comic world with a ventriloquist doll?
Well, it goes back to those, goes back to the radio shows. It was the same thing. I'd go to comedy clubs, especially around L.A., where it was, you know, industry nights and industry crowds, where it'd be like, all right, here's the guy and the doll, and I'd be following, you know, Seinfeld or Leno or somebody like that at the Improv. So, yeah, I was the unloved stepchild, and I get it. You know, these stand-up guys, there's pure monology, and why do you have to have anything on stage with you? That's a crutch. But I view what I do as more... It's more of a tool, because what's good comedy? Good comedy is when you have tension and conflict, and that's tough to build in monology. That's ridiculous. But now with another person on stage, I can build those moments just like in a sitcom. And that's another reason that I think that a lot of the material that I do, I can say things that other guys say, because I can then argue the other side. And when it comes to politics and all that, by the way, in this special, there's zero politics. If you're not sick of it by now,
Cool.
You don't need any more.
You don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But I could always argue both sides of it, and I could be, you know, right or left, and the dummy could be the opposite. And so that kind of makes it more fun and even for everybody, because I pick on both sides, and I don't know. So, yeah, back to your question. It was tough. You know, when I was nobody and had no TV and no cred, it was very difficult. But then after doing 20 years of comedy clubs, it's really an interesting dynamic now when I talk to other comedians, especially ones that were coming up when I was, because now I say this humbly, there's a level of respect for having done this for so long and been successful.
But you took it to another level. But you did. This is why I love your story. You start with this ventriloquist act,
no.
And comedians think you're a hack. You still show up, and you keep fighting through it.
Yeah.
And you turn this, you know, every night you have to walk into that comedy club, go into the green room and think, yep, I know what I'm going to face.
Yep.
Just negativity. But then you go out and the people love it.
Beat the odds.
But the comedians don't like it. And you fight your way through it, and
right.
You become not only a success, but the most successful.
I'm seeing a movie here. Definitely,
that
like you
room's
are.
Not
yep.
The room that matters. It's the room out on the stage.
But
which
he has
he
to
owns.
Get. He has yeah. to get through these.
Right.
This
got to get through it
before he gets on stage. Even the club owners, his manager, started booking him as a comedy duo because clubs would say, "No, we don't want a ventriloquist act.
Right.
We want a comedian."
It was really cool.
No,
yes.
I love this. This story is a movie.
It should be Ralph Macchio playing Jeff. That'd be awesome. And the guy from Cobra Kai playing like
that's
a
right.
club owner.
That's
yeah.
right.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
You
know,
have
but
a
what's great about
dummy.
It is what's great about it is the world has turned now, and a lot of these guys that hated me and were writing epitaphs on comedy club walls about how I sucked and it was a hack. What's great about that is a lot of those guys have now moved on and have podcasts, and I've been interviewed by a few of the haters, and it's amazing how life turns around, and now we can have really great conversations and talk about those days. And
right.
It's fun.
But you had to get through that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, you knew at a young age you wanted to be on Carson and you wanted to be the greatest ventriloquist act ever. And you did both those things through all of the hate. You fought your way through. It's a Rudy.
Right. And now comes MMA fighter.
It's a Rudy, but you got to play the whole game and you're very successful.
Well, thank you. You know, I started this interview thinking this was going to go poorly, and now I feel good about myself, so thanks a lot.
That's why we're here. We're here for you, Jeff.
I did.
You're welcome.
We're always here for you, Jeff.
I've always known. We've had you on the show before.
You were in studio with
and
us.
And I'm a big fan of yours, and I've been to your Mohegan Sun show, and, you know, I actually do research on interviews. So when you started talking and not stopping, I was very disappointed. I was looking forward to an interaction with Jeff Duncan.
It's the caffeine again.
Right.
The caffeine problem he had back in 84. Yes.
Well, you know, if you think about it, he's used to having conversations with himself.
Right.
All the time. Ah,
that
yeah,
makes sense.
Dummies don't talk back.
So he's trained.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we do these promotional tours, again, I'll go back to what I said. There are these handful of shows that just all they want to hear is jokes, and that's it. And they don't do any research, and they don't, you know, they don't care. They've been doing it for 30 years and the same crew, and so I appreciate it very much. And by the way, the Mohegan Sun, I love that place.
Yeah, it's a great place.
What are they doing right now?
They're sitting tight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, nothing.
There's limited gambling now, all socially distant. There's some shows there socially. I mean, it's the same thing everywhere.
There's that scan when you walk in. They installed that big thing.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting?
Your mind's a deadbeat.
Jeff's jokes are so fast that when he started playing these big places, he had to slow down so the people far away can hear the joke, get the math, right? So you're slowing yourself down because the room is too big for your speed.
Well, that's what was, again, I go back to this. I was used to doing these shows at a certain speed for the larger arenas for that very reason. And so I knew when taping a special how many words were in the show was X amount of time because the laughs were average lengths. And I knew that, for example 11,000 words equaled in my show about a two-hour show. But then, now we go down to 100 people in this tiny place outdoors in Malibu, and I knew that everything was going to speed up because the laughs were going to be shorter. There was going to be no reverb, no echo. And so my 11,000 words ended up being an hour and 20 minutes instead of 2 hours.
Oh, man.
That's okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be great. We're looking forward to this. Friday night, Comedy Central. Jeff Dunham's completely unrehearsed, last-minute holiday pandemic special. And the name might be different. In an hour.
Right.
but tune into Comedy Central Friday night. You know, look, where else are you going to be?
Exactly.
Right?
You and Jeff.
And we're linked up at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Jeff, thanks for coming back on the show.
Always a pleasure, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I didn't show up the other day, and I always enjoy chatting with you guys. And this was really different and fun, so thanks.
Thank you,
brother. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. All right. And now, hold
on, nice guy. Yeah. I'm glad we pulled out. Like, I felt like, oh, boy, this is going to be a hang-up, and it'll be one of those, oh, yeah.
Didn't look good at first.
Yeah. Carl Palmer and Jeff Dunham.
We all kiss and make up now.